Hey, we're here to worship the Lord.
During the week, sometimes we think we're on our own time. And Paul, addressing this issue, he's talking about Christian marriage. And I've learned over the years through the scriptures and through experience that the relationship I have with my wife directly affects the relationship I have with Jesus Christ, either good or bad. I heard a minister a few years back, and he said, men, you need to understand, if your wife's a Christian, that's God's daughter. So you got daddy looking over your shoulder. You need to think about that in the way that you would treat his daughter. Ladies, you need to realize that that's God's son that you're married to. And sometimes we don't think of marriage in that sense, that it directly affects our relationship with Jesus Christ. And like I said, it can either be good or bad. And there is a conduct that Paul spoke of in the Christian marriage, and it's not impossible to attain, but it does take effort. Marriage is, it's a blessed life, but it, yeah, I'll leave it there. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Dating is one of the biggest cons there is. My wife talked about how romantic I used to be, you know, when we were dating. And I said, yeah, but I got you now. I don't need to be romantic all the time, you know. It used to be so thoughtful. Well, okay. You know, you don't say I love you enough. I said, I've been putting my feet under your table for 20-some years. If that ain't love, what is? I could go eat somewhere else, but I come home and eat. You know, that's love. That's the way I looked at it. And we've been married 44 years this December, and she probably deserves a medal. But what one thing I've learned in marriage, I said dating's a con. You're on your best behavior when you're dating. Men don't scratch, burp, or pick when they're around you in public. And after you're married, that kind of laxes. One morning, you wake up and you went to bed with Cinderella the night before, and you wake up and she looks like the wicked stepmother. She doesn't have her makeup on. She's drooling. You know, she's snoring like a lumberjack, and you're sitting there thinking, okay. You know, what happened? And nothing happened. It's life. You start to learn each other's ticks. The things that start irritating you that you hid so well when you dated. You know, you tried to be on your best behavior. You tried to be polite. You tried to watch your temper. And then after you're married, when things lax down a little bit, I like to say some of the real you starts coming out, the things you didn't deal with when you were dating. And marriage is tough. And I'll be the first to say that. In my opinion, marriage is tough, but it's worth it. If you stick it out, it's God ordained. Marriage is God's idea. God made the first man, and he said it's not good for him to be alone. I'm going to make him, now the King James says a helper or a helpmate. Dr. Jack Hiles preached on this one time, and he said the Hebrew says a completer. So he said God looked at the man and said he's not quite finished. So I'm going to make a completer, somebody to walk alongside of him. Marriage is God's idea. God performed the first marriage ceremony when he brought Eve to Adam, and Adam named her woman, and God said, now a man will leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and they'll become one. And it said he created them male and female in his image, and he called them man. Paul said, man's not without the woman, woman's not without the man. Marriage is between one man and one woman. Now, I know they've redefined it today, and you're just terrible if you don't feel that way. God never intended for same-sex marriage. That's not his idea. I don't think he ever intended for polygamy. He allowed it. I don't think he was that fond of it. I never understood why any man would want more than one wife, because that's plenty to take care of. I'd hate to try to keep track of two or three or four. Marriage is a blessed thing. And in Christian marriage, it can be especially a blessed thing. And It reflects the love that we have to Jesus Christ, the way we love one another, husband and wife. Now, this text today, I've had people over the years, you know, when we talk about this, they get offensive. They get offended, especially with the rise of feminism. Feminism didn't start in the 60s and 70s, church. It started in the garden. When the fall came, God said to Eve, your desire will be for your husband. And the Hebrew says for his position. God said, you're going to want to rule now. That was the result of sin. I think before sin, there wasn't any jockeying for leadership. They were co-heirs, co-equal. But when the fall came and sin entered the world, God said, now there's going to be a problem. And he said, Eve, you're going to want to rule over your husband, but I'm not permitting that. He's going to rule over you. And I know how men are. We can take that way off the other direction. And I understand why that can be offensive to women. A wife is not your slave, gentlemen. She's your partner. Okay? Is the man the leader of the house? Yes. I agree with that. I teach that. I taught my children that. I taught my daughters that. I taught my sons that. And I spent 44 years trying to convince my wife of that. But I don't think she's so convinced as I am that I'm the leader. You know, she lets me lead sometimes. But I want to look today at what the scriptures have to say about Christian marriage. I entitled this Christian marriage because this isn't going to work in a marriage that both couples aren't Christians. I'm sorry, it won't work. I always encourage young people, if I'm going to marry them, you know, are you Christians? Make Jesus Christ the center of your marriage. And that marriage is going to work. It's going to be the way God wants it to be. A wife should not love her husband more than the Lord. A husband should not and cannot love his wife more than the Lord. That's idolatry. But in the Christian marriage, God has set it up in such a way that he means for it to be a blessing, a time of support, somebody to go through life with that supports you, that builds you up, that encourages you, both sides. So I want to look at the text this morning, and I want us to look at what Paul has to say about the Christian marriage. It's in Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 33. He says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to everything, in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Father, I thank you for your word. Oh Lord, help us this morning to grasp this text and to be better husbands and wives, to be the husbands and wives you intended us to be, to have the marriages that you intended us to have. I just pray that I will decrease and you will increase. And Lord God, that you will bless all who are here to hear this message this morning. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, not to pull this text out of context, Paul had been writing to the Ephesian believers about their new lives in Christ. Very often we can take a text and pull it out, and if you don't read the whole text, you don't read the whole letter, it's easy to take it out of context to make it say something it's not. So to the Ephesian church, Paul was talking about the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. He talks about the love that God showed for us while we were still enemies, while we were still separated in our minds and by our actions, and that God has poured this love out on us and in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And that love that God has shown to you and I should change our perspective on how we treat others. If I expect God to show me this kind of love and I'm not willing to show it, then I'm becoming a taker. It's all about me. You know, you're God. You're supposed to love people. That I don't necessarily have to love other people. And when I first became a Christian and I read about Jesus said, you know, to love people, I thought, you're asking me to love people I don't even like. I have a hard time liking some people, and you're telling me to love them. And I realized through study that love is not the emotional love that you naturally feel for somebody that you're close to. It's a concern that God says you need to be concerned about other people. That's a love that God wants us to show. You need to be careful in how you treat people. Jesus said, whatever you would have others do to you, you do to them. And that applies in the marriage church. You know, I said, I know how men think. When I got married, I established very quickly that I'm the head of the house. And I had a worldly concept of what that meant. But the more that I've studied the scriptures, the more I walk with the Lord, I realized the responsibility that goes with that as the man being the head, the spiritual leader. Now, I said I've come into controversy with this text, especially nowadays. Paul said, wives, submit to your husband. Boy, I've heard a lot of feedback from that. Professed Christian, I'm not submitting to any man. Well, he said, submit to your husbands as the church submits to Christ. So are you saying you're not willing to submit to Christ? Well, my husband's an idiot. Yeah, look who he married. You know, if you want to use that kind of argument, you married him. Now, I understand in a situation where maybe you're a Christian and your husband isn't, that happens. Women, you have to step up and be the spiritual leader. If you have children, you have to be the ones that oversee their spiritual raising, their education. You have to be the one to teach. If your husband's not going to do it, then by all means, you need to step in and do that. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's comfortable. I remember one church I was at, a lady and two sons attended. Her husband was a Satanist, self-proclaimed Satanist. And she said it was very rough for her to bring those kids to church. Said sometimes he even got physical. He didn't want her going to church. But she loved the Lord, and she said, I want my sons in church. And I'm going to church. And I'll tell you what, I commended her for that. I said, that can't be easy. I remember a lady one time in Sunday school, we were talking about wives submitting to their husband's authority. And instantly she got irate and said, well, then if a man's beating on a woman, is she supposed to submit to that? And I thought, how do we go from here over to here? They see submission in a negative way. I said, no, you respond in love. Well, how do I do that? I said, you lovingly pick up a 10-inch cast iron skillet and you hit the man right between the eyes and say, honey, I love you, but that won't be tolerated. Yeah, I said, you don't have to put up with that. And we seem to want to jump to those extremes. Just the word submit. And I'm not saying any of you ladies feel that way, but this is what I've run into when we come to the discussion of Christian marriage. Submit. I'm not submitting. I'm my own person. I'm woman. Hear me roar. No man's going to tell me what to do. I was at one wedding, and I overheard a lady and two other ladies talking, and her daughter was getting married, and she said, I had that preacher take obey out of them wedding vows. I told my daughter not to say obey, and she said, I don't obey anyone, any man. And I didn't say it, but I thought, you're on what, like your third marriage now? Do you know the scriptures say rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft? It wasn't Adam that said, Eve, I'm going to be in charge. It was God that said, Eve, Adam's in charge. Now, that doesn't mean a man treats a woman as a slave. She's his partner. Should he listen to her advice? Yes. Very many times my wife has given me good, sound advice. At times, if you'll receive this, my wife was like the Holy Spirit of our marriage. And this is what I mean. We'd have family devotionals, and I'd read scriptures to my kids, and I would teach them, and she would be there participating, listening, and then sometime I'd go off and say something stupid, and she'd say, didn't you just tell the kids the other night that the Bible says? Oh, yeah. I needed that. I needed her to remind me, honey, this is what you said. This is what you said the Word says. Are you going to live that? That's what she was saying. Are you going to walk that? Or are you going to say one thing and do something else? Sometimes I felt like saying, why don't you and God both just shut up? You know, I don't need this. Ladies, it doesn't mean that you're insignificant. But somebody has to be in charge. When I first got on the ambulance, I went through all my training, took my state test, did my clinicals. I had to work in the hospital. I had to work on an ambulance, you know, kind of get you eased into it and the feel of it. And there's a time called orientation. I had to ride for about a week with an EMT and a medic. And I was there working, but it was under their supervision. And after my orientation, they assigned me with this one paramedic. And the first thing he said to me when I showed up for work Monday morning, he said, somebody has to be in charge. He said, when we get on a scene, especially a trauma scene, it's chaotic. People are bleeding and screaming and, you know, just chaos. He said, they expect us to know what we're doing. And when you step up on the scene, you take charge. And that made sense to me. And he said, it will bring a calmness to the chaos. If you step up and say, all right, I need you to do this, you do that, I'm going to do this, it brings an order. Well, I think in the marriage it has to be the same way. You got two people jockeying for the lead, you're just going to have nothing but contention and dissension and disagreement and misery. If your husband's wrong, tell him he's wrong. Don't jump him in front of your kids. Get him off to the side and say, I don't agree with this. Honey, I just don't agree with this decision. I don't think this is the right thing to do. It bothers me when I hear women run their husbands down. I'm talking about Christian women. It bothers me. Now, I joke about my wife a lot, but I love my wife. I respect my wife. I listen to her advice. We talk things over. But I told her years ago, when it comes to the final decision, I have the final say. Good, bad, or whatever, I'm going to take full responsibility for it. It doesn't mean that I think less of her opinion. And while we're on the subject, you know, you talk about submitting. You look at the list that he gave to the men. My goodness. Wives, submit to your husbands. Guys, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Greg talking about the love at the table this morning. What kind of love is that, men? That's the kind of love that says it can't be about me. Can't be all about me. I can't have my way. How did Christ love the church? He gave himself for the church. He poured himself out for the church. Now, I don't believe that a man should spoil and pamper his wife like a Siamese cat or something. You know, I don't agree with that's what he's talking about. But Jesus Christ came to this earth, as Greg mentioned this morning, to sanctify us, set us apart for a holy purpose, to make us his people. And husbands, part of our job as the spiritual leader in the home, we set the spiritual tone. And when it comes to our spouse, it is part of our job as the husband to assist her in her growth with Christ, to work with her. Now, I understand respect is something that's earned. And sometimes people will argue there's nothing about him to respect or nothing about her to respect. I understand that. But it doesn't change the way we're supposed to treat each other in the marriage. Peter said, honor your wife as the weaker vessel. Some people don't like that. What do you mean weaker? Well, the Greek says weaker. So Peter said weaker, so I guess weaker's the right word to use. It doesn't downplay or belittle the wife. He said, husbands, remember, your wife is the weaker. You need to honor her. You need to be involved in her life. You don't just let her go off and do her own thing. You assist her. I'm not talking about a despot marriage where you rule with an iron rod. But you look out for her spiritual well-being and those of your children. Now, single mothers, that's your responsibility. Somebody has to do it. You know, I'm a disciplinarian. I grew up in that kind of a home. I believe in discipline. I don't care if it's spanking or grounding or timeouts or whatever you guys want to do, but it has to be consistent. And discipline isn't just a punishment. Discipline's a form of life with your family, with your children. This is not acceptable. This is acceptable. Let me tell you how the Lord can help you with this. You know, let's pray. Do you pray with your children? Do you read the scriptures? Do you do family devotions? I was in one church that, you know, they had the big church covenant on the wall, and it said, we do not promote the use of tobacco or alcohol, and if you're going to be in this church, you can't partake in that. And it also said, and we promote family Bible studies, family devotions, family prayers. Well, I was in that church for a while, and somebody come and talk to me and said, would you lead a Wednesday night Bible study? So I got up there and did a Bible study on the church covenant. I said, how many of you have family devotions? Maybe one hand come up. Do you pray with your kids? No hands came up. I said, so if you leave the tobacco and the alcohol alone, you're okay. You don't have to pray. You don't have to study the scriptures. You don't have to lead your children. Mom and Dad, if we speak against stealing and they see us cheating on our income tax, what are we doing? We're stealing. Somebody gives you too much change in the store and your kid watches you pocket that change. Well, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. But you shall not steal. We have to raise our children on purpose, and our marriage is done on purpose, with purpose. There's a blessing in it. If husbands would really learn to love their wives as Christ loved the church, I don't think there'd be near as many instances as we see today of infidelity and divorce. You know, my goodness, when I was a boy, divorce was a scandalous thing. I remember the adults talked about it in hushed tones. So-and-so got a divorce. Well, I found out it's because they had to prove adultery. Nowadays, it can be just, well, she's gained 20 pounds, and I just want a divorce. And the judge will say, okay, irreconcilable differences. That's not the marriage God intended. Marriage is something you got to work at, both of you. Takes a lot more effort than what people think. I've had young people say, well, we want to get married. Why? We're in love. That's not good enough. Why else do you want to be married? What are you going to do when the infatuation wears down in a couple years and you start dealing with the real person? Not the one that was presented to you when you were dating. The real person with all their quirks and all their flaws. You love them. You love them. You love them in the name of Christ. You remember that you committed to this person. You took a vow before Almighty God. I took the same vow that said nobody else but this person. For rich or for poor, in sickness and in health, through thick and thin, I'm going to stay with this person. I'm going to be at this person's side till death separates us. Christian marriage can be just as tough as a non-Christian marriage. But you and I, Christian, we have something to draw off of, they don't. Marriage can be a thing that will cause you to grow and shape you into the person that the Lord wants you to be by putting into practice what He has said that He wants us to do in marriage. Husbands, love your wives. Love them like Christ loved the church. That's a big order. I remember going to church with my wife sometimes. We'd have a spat on the way to church. We'd get out on the opposite side of the car. I wanted to hit her upside the head with my Bible. I was so upset, just don't even talk to me. And then walk in, people go, how you doing? Oh, we're fine. Hypocrite. When it comes to the subject of marriage, I think in the church, we need to focus on teaching our young people, you don't marry the first person you become infatuated with. I had a lady complaining to me about her husband one time on the ambulance, and I said, why did you marry him? She said, well, he just looked good in a pair of straight leg Levi's. I said, oh, that's a real good reason to spend the rest of your life with somebody. He looked good in a pair of Levi's. I felt like saying, you got what you asked for, sweetheart. Well, don't ask my advice. You know, you signed up for that. Marriage is God's idea. God blesses marriage. But we need to teach our youth, you don't just run off and marry the first person you think you got feelings for. You know, you need to get to know them before you make that kind of decision. We need to teach children that God hates divorce. Now, I've been divorced and remarried. When I was in the Baptist church, they didn't want me preaching because I'd been divorced and remarried. You can't preach. I said, okay, that's fine. You know, I don't have to preach. If I had it do over again, would I have done things different? Yeah. I'd have done things a little different. I'd have tried to work on it and reconcile, but I wasn't a Christian the first time I was married. I didn't know about Christian marriage. I didn't know about loving my wife as Christ loved the church. I didn't know I was there to encourage and build her up. I was there to lead, and she was there to follow. And as long as she followed, there was no problem. And it didn't work. It didn't even last a year. Do you know the divorce rate is as high in the church now as it is outside the church? Over 50%. Something's wrong. Marriage is a commitment between a man, a woman, and the Lord God that He honors. when we make that kind of a covenant. God honors that covenant. But he's laid out some guidelines for us, and he says, look, don't just be a Christian at church, be a Christian at home. Don't just show the love of Christ to your fellow believers, show it to your spouse. When they're aggravating you and getting on your nerves, and you'd like to bury them in the woods and swear to God they died of natural causes, love them. It has an effect on our relationship to God. Peter said to the husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, you love your wives. He said, so that your prayers will not be hindered. First time I got a hold of that, I thought, what? You mean I got to get along with her before you'll listen to me? That's how I felt. That ain't right. I guess I got to go apologize, even though I didn't think I'm in the wrong, or you're not going to hear my prayers. And I felt like the Lord said, yep. When that relationship's messed up, you can't have a relationship with me. Man, God, that isn't fair. She's mouthy. You know, I shouldn't have to put up with that. You need to go say you're sorry. But I wasn't wrong. I didn't ask you if you was wrong. You take the first step, spiritual leader. You're supposed to be the mature individual. You're supposed to set the example. Man. I joke a lot about my wife. Some of you that know me very well know I joke a lot, maybe too much. But that's just the way I am. I like teasing. I like teasing my wife. My grandmother told me one day, she went in the other room and she said, you need to compliment your wife. I haven't heard you compliment your wife in a long time. So she come back through the room and I said, you know, honey, for an old fat gal, you don't sweat much. And my granny said, that's not what I meant. Well, I said, that's as good as it's going to get with me. Now, do I compliment my wife? Yes. But I'm not the ooey-gooey emotional kind that gets out in front of everybody and just wants to hang on my wife and tell her how beautiful she is, how nice she looks. That ain't me. My wife deserves a medal. A medal of valor or something. I don't know. She's put up with me for a lot of years, especially the first 5 years of our marriage. It was so rocky. I'm surprised we made it. And she had a lot to do with that. I come out of the drug culture, you know, I was a mess, and she stuck with me. She walked me through it. She walked with me through it. And I love her for that. She believed in me when nobody else did. When people would have said, why do you put up with that jerk? Well, I took him for better or worse. Still waiting on the better, but, you know, I took him for better or worse. Marriage is a commitment, church, that we as Christians, when we make, I think we need to really get a grasp on what God's asking of us in a marriage relationship. As I said, that's his daughter. And that's his son. You think about how you want somebody treating your children. Imagine how God wants us to treat one another. Treat his kids. It's a beautiful thing. It's a time of growing together. But it can be one of the most miserable things you ever undertake if Jesus Christ isn't the center. I'm sorry, but that's just the way I feel about it. Whenever I read this text, whenever I think about it, I always think, I'm not the husband I need to be. I know that. And I need to work on that. And I'm trying to work on that. And by the grace of God, you help me get through this. We need to understand, church, that our marriage is a part of the way we worship. We honor God by honoring our spouses. I had a man told me, you know, the Bible doesn't say the man has to respect his wife, just the woman has to respect her husband. Well, That's an ignorant statement, because respect and love go together. You need to respect your wife. Just because the Bible doesn't say specifically, it doesn't mean that you're not required to show respect to your spouse. This is a tough text. I know the opposition that we face out there, the mindset of the culture around us. But in the church, that's not the mindset we're to have. As Christians, that's not the mindset we're going to have or should have. I think a lot of divorces could have been avoided if people would have took Paul's advice and actually treated one another the way he wants us to treat one another. Peter said, be understanding. Husbands, be understanding. It's like, yeah, they don't come with a manual. I think when God created Eve, he should have handed Adam a book. Said, here, she's wired a little different than you. You know, this will help you out. But he didn't do that. God likes mysteries. Women, don't try to make a woman out of your man. Oh, that irritates me. I see them movies and men ball up. What is your problem? Be the man. You know, good night. I think that's why some marriages fail. Some women marry a guy and they want him to act like a woman. Well, that is not going to happen, girls. We're wired different than you. I tell young women when I'm speaking with them about, you know, communicating with their husbands, I said, don't ask a man how he feels. We don't know. We're not comfortable with that subject. We don't want to talk about how we feel. Ew. Say, what do you think? Oh, okay, well, yeah, I can tell you what I think. And even though we're expressing emotion, we're too silly to understand that. And you know we're feeling, and listen to them share their feelings. Just don't tell us we're sharing our feelings, because we'll shut it off. Don't ask us what we feel, because we don't know what we feel. We're not the sharpest tack in the box. Feelings are uncomfortable. What do you think, honey? I tell young men, there's two phrases you need to learn to make a marriage work. I was wrong, and I'm sorry. Whether you are or not. Honey, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Y'all get anything out of this? Go home, try this out. Send all your hate mail somewhere else. I don't need to get the emails and the nasty letters. But do you see what I'm saying, what Paul's saying? The Christian love that we have for God and we're supposed to have for one another extends into the family too. And that's harder to do, because if it's just one-on-one, nobody but you and her know, but you know and God knows. And it affects our worship. It affects our relationship with God. If we don't have a relationship with our spouse, it affects our relationship with God. Would you stand with me this morning? You know, when you read the text about marriage, read the text before and after. Get an idea of what it is that they're talking about. Paul's talking about the new life in Christ. Peter was talking about Christians being submissive to the Lord, to the federal, local authorities, to the government, and he gets down to wives and husbands. So he's not just pulling one text out and saying, women, you better do this. He's talking along the lines of the Christian life, the kind of people we're supposed to be. But that works in marriage too.